they're getting comfortable, I'll read through an intro that we're going to have for each one of our panels. So I'll read that, and then we'll get started. Like I said, good morning. My name is Scott. We're in the third week of our Imago Dei series. And as our panelists come up and get settled in, we have a primer we want to read at the top of each of our panel discussions as a way of setting the stage. The scriptures tell us that from the beginning, we were created in the image of God. And so we bear the likeness of our Creator, every single one of us. This is why for many years now, our church website has said, we welcome all persons and have no leadership limits based on race, gender, identity, sexual orientation, or physical ability for those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The central standard is Jesus. But because of how the Bible has been interpreted over the centuries, the church has often implicitly and explicitly communicated that we do not all bear the image of God or belong equally. Women have been left out or excluded from leadership in the church historic. Gay, lesbian, trans, and queer folk have been promised they can belong so long as they fit in. People with differently abled bodies have often been excluded or treated less than because of their physical bodies. And non-white cultures and ethnic groups have often been treated like they're only here to help the quote-unquote real image bearers. It sounds ugly because it is. It doesn't sound like Jesus because it isn't. And so our panel discussions during the Imago Dei series are meant to be a kind of promise, not to perfection or utopia, and we aren't expecting full agreement for everyone in the room about everything. But these conversations are a kind of promise that we are working and learning to be a community that is safe for people pushed to the margins. People of color, women, the disabled, and the LGBTQ plus person. Because we are all created in the image of God, and no one should be left out. As we all discuss what it means for us to bear the image of God in the church and in the world, and for the church to be a safe place for us to grow in the likeness of Jesus and the fullness of what God has created us to be, will you please welcome our panel for today? I'm going to start all the way down to the end with you, Dave, and then Kathy and Liam will go to you. If each of you would introduce yourselves and your friends and why you're participating in this panel, that would be great.
Yeah. So this is Sweetie Paw, when you guys recognize and know her. And my name's Dave Hodge. I'm here kind of just as her dad and to talk about it from a parent's perspective. And Sweetie will interject with laughs and probably chomps throughout the whole entire thing. So, do you want to say anything?
Yep, chomp.
Okay. I'm Kathy Webb. I am here because I have several different invisible or non-apparent disabilities.
And then. I'm William. Y'all probably know me as Liam. And what did I need to say?
Just share why you're a part of the panel, if you would.
I've got some physical disabilities in like my arm and my leg, and then like my back too. So yeah.
All right. Thank you. And again, my name is Scott. I had a spinal cord injury about 10 years ago. So this year is my anniversary 10 year of being in a chair. And then I also am the parent of a child with a disability, our daughter that we were able to adopt in November, but have been caring for since birth and will be 3 this month, has Rett syndrome, which affects her speech and her physical abilities as well. How did you initially get connected to God and church? And this time, Liam, if I can start with you, you can share, and then we'll go down and through.
I mean, I, my dad is Pastor Greg, so I grew up here, pretty much, so I've always known, like, God and stuff, so yeah, that's all.
Yeah, so my parents come from two very different Christian faith traditions. So they got married and didn't know what to do or where to go, so they didn't go anywhere. And then I was invited to a vacation Bible school when I was 6, and we started attending that church afterwards.
Yeah, and I was raised by both my parents from a very young age, going to church. They always taught our kids' clubs and Sunday school class and was a part of a program that did verse memorization as a kid, like an Awanas program, and I remember being 7 years old and just asking my mom what a verse meant and how to explain it to me and accepted Christ at that point. And then it has always been a place of safety in my life and community the church has, just kind of moving around a lot and getting involved with ministry. Also went on to college and got a degree in ministry, and have been a part of a lot of nonprofits and stuff. And then Sweetie came into our care and has been with us for going on 6 years almost now. So she's just kind of been a part of our lives since then. So.
Awesome. And for me, similar to Liam, I'm a pastor's kid. So I was at church every Sunday from as long as I can remember, whether I wanted to be there or not. And it stuck. I like being there. So still there and still a part. I'll start with you again, Liam. Have you found it difficult or natural to accept how you were made or your current physicality?
I feel like since, I mean, like, yeah, I guess I've been this way for majority of my life, so if it is natural, it's just because it's like most of what I've known, I guess. So, yeah, I guess I would say, like, I've come natural to it.
So you've gotten comfortable with, you know, the body that you have.
Yeah, I make do with it. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Good job.
Both. There are some parts of me that are easier than others. So I think, like, I have a chronic pain disability amongst some other things, and that one tends to be weirdly easier to deal with other people, but not as easy with myself. So it just depends on the circumstances and with whom I'm speaking as to whether or not certain parts of me are easier or more difficult.
Yeah, and so for Sweetie, she's nonverbal, has some developmental delay, has white matter changes. And so, you know, asking her questions, Sweetie, do you love being Sweetie? Yes. Yep. She's very happy all the time. This is her demeanor, who she is. From our parents' perspective, I mean, we have been all in with her from the very beginning of life. We've learned a lot and grown a lot, especially around the ideas of faith. And just processing her and who she is through faith. And so I think we're at a very accepting place in our lives with her and who she is. And we're always learning. I mean, she's new every day. So.
Yeah, thank you. For me, it really depends on the day and situation. There's days that I wake up and think, you know, hey, this is the situation I'm in. It's okay. And I'm so grateful for the things that I'm able to do and the supports that I have. And then there's mornings I wake up and feel like this is just too much work. This is too frustrating and feel very frustrated. So it can go back and forth for me, definitely. What do you think God feels about you? And has that changed over time? I felt some acceptance from the beginning of my disability because it happened very suddenly, and it just became, you know, at the time I was 28, so I had some maturity and age, and so it just happened, and you know, I just came to the conclusion pretty quickly of I had a relationship with God. This has happened. I'll continue to have a relationship with God, and so accepting that He understood and accepted me came pretty naturally. And I'll remind our panelists, and just so you know, that all of them know that if there's a question that they don't really have anything to say about or don't want to speak to, then they're welcome to just go ahead and say that. So not everybody will have something to add to every question. Liam, do you have anything you'd like to share on this one?
I just think he like cares about me just as much as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's all.
Ditto.
Well, I'll talk a little bit about this. Is that okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So with Sweetie, like, this has been a huge change for me personally in my thoughts and of understanding religion and Christianity and faith and all those type of things. With her being nonverbal, I think a lot of people, first of all, I'll say this. I think a lot of people, Sweetie's very complex. And from the first view of her, I think the judgments of, well, you know, even her schools would say that when she was first tested, that she ranks around 3 or 4 years old. But she also speaks another language. She came here speaking another language. English was not her first language. So the fact that she has and understands English, and as we talk to her and can communicate in some phrases and respond to those things with her feelings and match up those feelings with her words when she does talk, simply saying I love you or I eat or whatever she says shows to me that she has far more capabilities of understanding than what she is given. And so when it comes to faith and understanding, though, she also is not able to respond in the typical ways that we have laid out through evangelical Christianity of that we expect a person to respond to accept Jesus as their personal Savior and say the prayer and spend their life devotion and prayer and reading the Bible and scripture and all those type of things. And so that has to then begin to shape for me differently. Like, how does God view her? Perfectly.
Yeah.
You know? And so for me, like, that is the beginning point for me of understanding faith and understanding when it comes to her, that God looks at her perfectly. God's not expecting anything from her more. He just gets to enjoy her every single day. And I believe that deeply, just as much as we get to live and enjoy her every single day. And I have no expectations for her as a parent, as a father. And so I think it shaped a lot for me. It's changed a lot for me. It's continuing to change a lot for me and how I understand how God sees her and then how I'm able to relate that even to myself and to others about how really truly God sees us and understands us and what are those steps that we have to take and what does that look like. And I am still learning. I'm still growing. I don't sit here to say I'm an expert in this field and all that kind of stuff, but I will say the experience of having Sweetie in our lives has definitely began to shift in my mind and my heart and my understanding of how I see Scripture and how I read Scripture when it pertains to God's love for us, God's grace for us, what Jesus has done on the cross for us. Because if we truly believe it does not come from us earning those things or whatever that may look like, then I have to believe that for God and Jesus for her also. And so I believe Jesus deeply loves her, cares with her, interacts with her on a daily basis, lives with her, walks with her, laughs with her, speaks to her, shows up to her in dreams in ways that I don't understand because she is constantly filled with joy and laughter. And I wish, you know, more of my life reflected that of what Sweetie lives out every day. So.
And with that, our next question is there a certain place you go in the Scriptures that reminds you of that or causes you to think of that?
Yeah, so like for me, like the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, right, is like Jesus' first ministry. Understanding the idea that when Jesus begins to speak, he has a plethora of crowds, like thousands of people are following him before he ever opens his mouth. And those are people who are demon possessed, who are sick, who have infirmities, who are coming to Jesus to be healed. And so they're all coming to Jesus, so Jesus heals them, and Jesus heals them, casts out demons, and does all of this, and then he sits down, and he begins to speak to his disciples and the crowd, And the first words that come out of his mouth is what we call the Beatitudes, which can be looked at a thousand different ways. But if you realize the first words out of his mouth is blessed. Blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are sick. Because, then he goes on to say, because they will see the kingdom of God, they will do all these things. Understanding that passage for me, knowing that the concept of that all these people who are coming to Jesus to be healed are people who have been told their whole entire lives and in that culture that they are cursed by God. In the biblical times, if you had any type of ailment, sickness, disability, injury, it's because you ticked off God and God was punishing you, and then you were removed from your home. So you had to live outside of the city walls. You were cast out. You were seen as less. You were seen as unclean. And so to have all these people who believe that because of their infirmities, because of their disability or whatever they had going on, that by culture, by religion, that they were cursed, they come to Jesus and they get the complete opposite. A, they are freed of it, and then B, they're told they are blessed. That you were never cursed, that you have always been loved, that in God's eyes you have always mattered, you have always been seen. So that for me is huge understanding to begin this journey of looking at, and understanding Sweetie through a life and eyes of her disabilities and needs. And then there's all kinds of stuff, right? There's Christ came to die on the cross, and he says that I came to give you life and life to the full. It's not an afterlife to the full. It's a life currently to the full. And so if I believe that Christ died for my life to be full, I believe that Sweetie also gets to have a full life because of that. Numerous passages. I mean, I could go on all day with this, and I'll stop and pass it on. But I think our ideas of heaven, of getting to heaven, and we think the beauty that is heaven is there, and we want to get there, but that becomes like that escapism of, well, life is hard here, and so there it's going to be perfect. But then Jesus, again, like in his prayer says, right, that we pray that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth, now, presently, just as it is in heaven. And so that we get to live in God's presence fully now on earth, just as we will one day in heaven, like that again to me plays into the role of Sweetie's life, that she's living the fullness of Christ now in her earthly body as she will one day in heaven. So many things, I think, for me fall into that.
Yeah, thank you. And to answer that question for myself and also connect with a couple of the things you said. My daughter is also nonverbal and has the most beautiful smile and the most beautiful laugh. And as I've met Sweetie and others, I have never doubted for a second whether Sweetie was loved by God fully. It is just so clear. But we often struggle with that for ourselves and others. Yeah. It can be a challenge for some of us that are, it's always tough to find words, but able-bodied or of normal mind, we can question decisions, different things, but we never question that for some of the more profoundly disabled. And I think one of the reasons that's significant is that doesn't come naturally. Throughout history, that hasn't been the case, that we look at people with more profound disabilities and say, wow, that person is really a sign of God's love and God's grace. And even those who don't recognize Jesus as God's son or scripture are still influenced in our culture by that belief. And everywhere I would go in the world, people wouldn't necessarily jump up to open a door for me or ask me if I needed help. There are lots of places that might not be normal. For us, in our culture, it's pretty normal. But I very strongly believe that's because of the influence of, even when we don't realize it, of Christianity, meaning Jesus, and those teachings that you mentioned. And I'll pause there. That's a tough one to pause on. Liam, do you have anything to add about a certain place that you see in scriptures?
I was thinking about it last night, and I think it was Romans 8, and Paul's writing about, like, that we aren't from, like, this realm, where it's our, like, spirits that matter. And he was just saying that, like, it doesn't matter, like, what you're capable of doing with your body. And it's like, you need to just lead with your spirit.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm going to take us to the Old Testament. So I love Ecclesiastes. I'm one of those weirdos. And Ecclesiastes 7:13 says, "Who can make straight what God has made crooked?" And I just love that verse for several reasons. But you know, God explicitly says that he is the one who creates disability. He told Moses this. He said, "Who makes man deaf? Who makes man blind?" Moses was complaining because he didn't want to do what God told him to because he had a communication disability and he didn't know how he would go about doing that. And so God is like, "I made you this way, but because you're uncomfortable with this, I will send your brother Aaron as an accommodation for you." Right? And so, like, there's this beautiful history all throughout the Old Testament where God is like, "I did this." And people are like, "Well, okay, then I guess I have to deal with it." And I think for me, like, just recognizing the fact that, like, I'm not a mistake. Like, God didn't have an error in the pattern that he was using when he made people. Like, that's just so powerful to me to think, like, God did this for a reason, and I am this way for a reason, and I live my life different than a lot of other people, but that's by design. Does different things, it teaches different things, it allows me to learn different things than it would if I just, like, you know, fit the mold people.
Thank you. I'm going to move on to, have you ever felt othered by Christianity or the church because of your body and abilities? And I would just start with the really simple one of seating. I've been in churches where there wasn't anything available for persons that use a chair, and that can be tricky because it's like, wow, nobody thought of this. You know, nobody thought of the possibility of someone in a chair coming in. There have been places I've gone where it was possible to rearrange seating, but no one did. It can be uncomfortable. And there have also been places where sometimes people overcompensate. So they start removing a whole row of chairs, and I'm like, I just need a spot. You know, I don't need you to, you know, rearrange the sanctuary. So that's just a little example of sometimes in church, and not just in church, but included in there where these people might wrestle or church structures might wrestle to how to figure out how to handle disability. Kathy, do you have anything to mention that? And then I'll go Liam and then Dave and Sweetie.
Sure. So constantly, not as much in some spaces as in others, but it's little things, right? Like, so sometimes my pain doesn't want me to stand up, but I am young, and so people are like, "Why aren't you standing up?" Right? Or, and then also sometimes when you sit, then you can't see the screen, so you can't sing along because you literally can't see through the tall people standing in front of you. But also just little things like sometimes the songs that are chosen have lyrics in them that are just really hurtful. And like there's just so many places where there could be more thought put into how we're thinking about and talking about disability. I have had occasions where I've had to go talk to a pastor after service and be like, "We need to talk about what you believe about me and let's learn some things because I am incredibly hurt right now." So it's definitely something that is a constant thing on my mind because I have had to battle it enough.
I don't really think there's much. I don't really need many accommodations, so I haven't really noticed the issue much.
I also think that it's cool that we're in a church that Pastor Greg really has the perspective of having a family member where that's something he's really conscious of. And when he notices a need or something, he'll ask myself or someone else with a disability, "Hey, how does this affect you?" So I think it's really cool that you've gotten to be in a church where that environment or that situation is something that was thought of.
Yeah, I think, there's all kinds of things, right? I mean, like, every individual is different. Every individual has different needs. For us, like, coming to church, you know, we can navigate space and all of that kind of stuff. But there's other needs of, like, I mean, bathroom care is a big thing. You know, I mean, like, it's really hard to change Sweetie in a restroom, just being honest. She's a big kid. She's not an infant. She doesn't fit on infant tables. You know what I'm saying? And so those kind of spaces, of course, I mean, that's everywhere, though. It's not just the church. But I think for me, just growing up in a church and spending time in a church, there's obviously some truth there because there's a lack of representation in the church. And the more that I have been involved with other parents of children with disabilities and having those conversations, like, they don't feel welcome in church. It's very hard for them to experience church. There is a large population in our community of people with disabilities, and very few of them are represented in churches all across the Quad Cities. And so there's obviously something happening there that is not connecting, whether that's how we view our children's spaces, or even our adult spaces, or what that looks like. But when you can go to an event where people with disabilities gather, like there's a local event called Night to Shine that happens once a year for people with disabilities, and you can have so much registration that you have to fill two spaces across two states to make that happen. But yet when you walk into churches across the Quad Cities, there's no representation of people with disabilities, or very few. That should be concerning for us as Christians all across, and not just in the Quad Cities, but I think across the United States and the world, it's probably very much true. So I think there's a lot of growth in things that can happen and conversations that can be had with those type of situations when it comes to church and people with disabilities.
Thank you. And I want to take a moment to acknowledge this panel is doing an awesome job. Can we just go ahead and thank them right here in the middle? They're making asking questions a little tricky because they're covering them so well and doing such a good job that they're covering a lot of stuff, which I appreciate. What does it or would it mean to you for a church to be the safest place for you? I'll start with that, and then Kathy will go to you, and then Liam, and then Dave, and Sweetie. I think for me, people being aware of having things being thought of ahead of time, or, hey, if we have someone with the chair, we can let them know, what's the bathroom situation? What is the chair situation? Would you like help with the drink? Just being aware of and thinking of those things for people that come in with disabilities. And it's always tricky because it can be scary to ask someone a question, and you might get a response of, I don't need help with that. And you can feel behind it, I don't like that you asked me that. And sometimes I feel that. But at the end of the day, would I rather leave somewhere feeling someone wanted to help me even though I didn't need it, or no one was willing to have the courage to ask me if I needed help or willing to make a space for me? And so I think having the courage to make mistakes and understanding that even if you do have an awkward moment, that's okay. And it's gonna take that sometimes for people to feel connected and have a space.
I think for me, I've seen and experienced so much discrimination that I am constantly not able to be myself in spaces. Like, that is 100% the thing that, like, makes spaces not safe for me, is that I can't, I promise I'm not crying, the lights are getting me. I can't, like, lean into who I am fully and trust that people are gonna be okay with that. When people don't know things about you, they say things about you that they don't know that they're saying about you. And then you learn that you can't trust them. So you just kind of come to a place where you're like, this isn't a safe space for me, I can't be who I am. And I'm not great at peopling, like, just plain and simple. Like, people are not my gift. So it doesn't make it easy to make those connections and to feel safe with people. And so it would be a huge shift for me to feel like I'm in a space where I could fully be myself and not need to be hiding aspects of myself.
Wow, thank you. Do you have anything that you'd like to add to that, Dave?
Yeah, I think, you know, just overall, I mean, like, it's you guys have, like, said amazing things, you know? I mean, it's like, Sweetie, if we take Sweetie into a space, I'm going to make sure that it's safe for her. I think, but for other people, you know what I mean, like, coming into a space to feel safe, it comes to the community mindset, like, right? Like, are we here to care for each other as a community, or do we walk in the doors for our own experience? And so if we come into church in our own experience, which is the individual mindset, which a lot of us are stuck in our culture, and that's just how it is. But if we come in for individual mindset, we're going to come in here, we're going to have our experience and what we thought of the service, what we thought of the music for that day, if we could find parking or not, if we could find a seat or not, and then we're going to walk out the door with our frustrations, of our thoughts of what happened in that service, right? And so it's, as we begin to shift to think about how do we want a community to experience church together, how we want others to come into the space and feel welcome and loved by each other as a body, as a family of Christ, that then begins to, for us to put ourselves aside and to make space welcome for all people. And that will begin to change as we begin to view things that way. And I think it'll begin to change as a community in the church and the body as the church as we begin to think that ways. But, you know, and I think that this is a great space. Like, I see that already happening. You know, the fact that we're having these discussions is a reason that Greg's heart and the church's heart is that we begin to become more of a community-minded space of where we think of others first and not just ourselves when we come to a church, and that's the way it should be. And so, yeah, I think there's always things, right, for others to come in and feel space, and there's things that we have to think about, whether that is facilities or layout or extra volunteers, you know, because sometimes people – disabilities need help and support. And so if we're going to have children coming in with more disabilities, it's going to take more volunteers to help out in spaces to help navigate that, especially if their children and their parents have, you know, are able-bodied. It allows them to have a normal experience too, and allows them to have a little bit of peace knowing that their child can be taken care of and they don't have to be the caretaker of their child at church also. And so, you know, there's all kinds of things I think that can be done and being mindful. And I see a beauty in this church already. I mean, I see mothers coming in with infants, and I see other people who go over to them and take their infant from them so that they can have a little bit of space, you know, and a little bit of peace and be able to participate and they can really help and support that way. I think as those things kind of keep in the community mindset, like, people feel more welcome, involved. As we're thinking of others first instead of ourselves when we come into spaces.
Thank you. And sometimes when my wife and I leave on our way home, and some of you may have noticed this as well, that for the size of our congregation, there's a lot of really young infants and young kids. People of different backgrounds represented and people with disabilities represented. And I think that's really cool, and I think that says a lot about the community that we have and the choices that our leadership has made. And sometimes I could be in a much larger group of people and be the only person represented as a person with a clear physical disability. But that's not the case here, and I love that. I'm going to ask another question. There's definitely some overlap here. So please don't hesitate if you don't have something additional to add. Just go ahead and say that. But the next one I have for you is, what does it mean to you to see people from diverse backgrounds, including those with disabilities, included and given space to be who God made them to be among Christians and Christian community? And that one's a little longer, so I'm going to read it again. What does it mean to you to see people from diverse backgrounds included and given space to be who God made them to be among Christians and Christian community? And I'll start, Liam, do you have anything you'd like to add to that one?
I don't really have any deep insight, but it does mean a lot to like me as a person. So yeah, that's all.
Thank you.
So I don't know many of you, but I teach about China, so I have a lot of facts in my head right now. And one of them is the fact that like the CDC says 28% of non-institutionalized adults have a disability. Like, that's a large number of people. So if congregations are trying to be representative of the communities that they're in, we should expect about a quarter of the people present to have some kind of disability, whether or not you're able to see it. So I think that like framing it that way helps us to think a little bit differently about who's in our space, right? Like, that's a lot of people. I don't have a count for this room, but it's a significant number of people, right? And so if we're thinking about that across multiple demographics, like if we wanna be the community, we need to have people represented from those spaces. And then that helps us to feel seen and be present in spaces differently when we know we're not like potentially the only one, right?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, it's I've said a lot already, you know, but I think even for me just as a parent with Sweetie, of some of the things that we went through, like, it was easy for me to cross some boundaries, but I had like fear, right? So like, and I know this may sound weird to some people, but like even like the first time I remember, like we participated in communion with Sweetie, like walking her forward to give her communion, where in some spaces in church culture, like that, they may not, I don't know how people view that, you know, like I don't understand how people, like my thought was like, I don't know if I'm gonna get like conversations with this afterward, like, you know, of like saying, hey, well, is she really a Christian? Like, has she said a prayer yet? You know, I've kind of mentioned those things, but I remember that first time of just giving her communion and saying, no, like she's, I'm all in with her being a part of the body of Christ. You know, baptizing her. We baptized her on Mother's Day 2 years ago here. You know, I mean, Sweetie's probably never given a procession of like a personal, you know, profession of faith out loud. But we're walking in that steps of faith of believing that, hey, but God has, like, God's blessed her and who she is and being okay with that. So for me, like, there was some things there where I definitely struggled with feeling comfortable with things in the church and having to worry about some of those things. But it's also what's pushed me to dive in more to learning and to researching and to like, you know, reading the Bible and having other discussions with people about faith and what that looks like with people with disabilities, especially where there's nonverbal, you know, involved, where they can't kind of vocalize their thoughts. And I think a lot of misconceptions, you know, come through appearance, but there's also, like you said, so much that's not seen. But I also think, like, with the church, I'll reiterate again, like, we have to do better because there's a huge community that's not represented and not going to church. And that to me is where we could grow as a church, is how do we reach out more in our outreach to those areas and creating space where people feel welcomed. So,
thank you. There have been some great answers to this question already. But this is the last question that I'll ask, and you can choose if you have anything you'd like to add. What do you think are practical steps that individuals in our community can take to ensure that disabled persons and their families know they are valued, heard, and embraced? I think for me, a little disability thing is being willing to ask people if they need assistance with something, if you can see some type of challenge they're having, but being willing to accept their answer. Sometimes if I say that I'm trying to move a chair, if someone sees me trying to move a chair and they say, hey, can I help you? The answer might be yes. The answer might be I have it. And then sometimes it's so hard to watch people struggle to do something, but that doesn't mean that they don't want to do it themselves. If I'm grabbing a cup or something like that, and someone asks if I want help, again, it's so appreciated, but sometimes I might be perfectly fine struggling with something for 30 seconds that might take you 2 seconds to do. And I even noticed that when Liam dropped his phone, there's an offer to pick it up, but you chose to pick it up yourself. And I've noticed just in observing Liam from a distance, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you and I have in common that we stubbornly would prefer to do things ourselves than accept help. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll step out on a limb and say that. And so that determination is there. And so being willing to ask and then being willing to accept the answer that's in response and recognize that even if someone struggles with something, they might kind of enjoy the fight a little bit. So that would be my answer. Do you have anything you'd like to add, Liam?
I feel similar.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, there's two big things. One of the biggest struggles for many of us with disabilities in any place is people's attitudes. Because people just don't understand disability well. We haven't done a good job about talking about it. And so these, unknown biases against disability sometimes overwhelm people and make it really hard for us. And I'll throw research at you again. We know that the best way to become comfortable with people who are different from you is to spend time with them. I know, revolutionary. But thinking about how am I spending time with people and am I getting to know people who are different than me to help you work through some of those things that you might not know that you don't know. But then the other big thing for me is just inviting. I might tell you no 100 times, but if you keep inviting me, that's really meaningful, right? I have lost friends because I said no too many times. Sometimes I say yes, and then the day comes, and I need to change my mind and say no, right? But that invite and being intentionally included in things is really, really important, especially, I think, for people with disabilities, because you might have every intention of going, and then your body or your mind might be like, not today. So having somebody who's still willing to invite you, even if you don't show up regularly, is really, really meaningful.
Yeah, I think, the same thing, too, is just and I understand, I've had to learn how to change my thoughts and processes and my interaction when it comes to especially people with disabilities. And so it's a learning curve, but it's also the first step of just, reaching out, I mean, I know a sweetie, a lot of people will approach her and may not know how to even interact with her because they don't know her disabilities just even by looking at her. And you can come up and be like, hey, sweetie, and she's just gonna give you that look of and she's gonna reach her slobber finger out towards you, and that's what she's gonna do because that's how she shows she loves you, because you can tell by looking at me and Lee everywhere we go, we have wet spots, so that's just life. But as you hang out and spend time with her, you will realize the first thing is that she appreciates every single interaction. She soaks it in like a sponge. And so I think for us, just going out of our comfort zones and interacting and talking and treating people like people, right? I mean, that's just the overall rule that we can always do better at no matter where we're coming from or who the person is. It's just one of those funny things. Even with Cameron, I blew Cameron's mind this morning because he was like, well, why doesn't Sweetie come to Treehouse? And I'm like, because she's 18. She's an adult. But you wouldn't know that maybe by first looking at her. And so there's a lot of things like that where it's just understanding as people that we have to treat people as people no matter what we want to label them or put them in categories. And that's just loving them as they are, giving them the respect they deserve, talking to them, interacting with them, giving them the time of day, because we all deserve that, and just being aware of that. And it may be hard and difficult, but I think it's just taking the first steps just to break through those barriers yourself, not expect them to come to you and be like, hey, this is what you need to do. Break through the barriers. Be the person that takes the first step. Make those interactions happen. Find spaces where it needs to happen, where you can. And that goes with all things. Man, put yourself in spaces other than what you live in. Get outside of your circles. That's really how change happens. That's really how we learn, right? If you never went to school, you'd probably know a lot less than what you know. because you had to get up every morning and you had to go somewhere to learn. Well, that's still the model we live in every single day. Like, we have to get out of our comfort zone and we have to go to spaces. We have to be around people. We have to interact. And the more we interact, we realize how human we all are. And then we can begin to change and grow from those perspectives.
Thank you. You can each take a deep breath. Unless you have something you'd like to add, we're...
Just a kiss from sweetie.
Thank you, sweetie. You guys okay if that's our stopping point? Okay. A couple quick comments. Thank you all so much. Your answers have really resonated with me emotionally. And I know I feel, listening to you, heard and seen in really special ways. And so thank you for that. I'd also like to do something. I'd like to have Pastor Jen and Pastor Greg come up. And I'm going to say a prayer for them. And as they come up, I want us to think about the work that they do to, if you'll come up on this side of me, to have our community be the special place it is. And when I think of these panels, I know they're different from what we're used to, but they're also discipleship. Isn't following Jesus learning more about how to be like Jesus and what he thinks and feels? And aren't we better able to be Christ followers as we hear and see these things? I think so. So I'd like to pray for Pastor Jen and Pastor Greg. I want to thank God for the insight that he's given them and the heart that he's given them, and also that he would continue to lead them as they make these efforts to make our church a more welcome place. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for that right now. Father, I thank you so much for Pastor Jen and for Pastor Greg, and I thank you for the heart that you've given them to love people in unique and creative ways, and to go beyond the all are welcome that we see on so many church signs and that so many people think that they mean but don't understand what that entails. Thank you for towards people of all the things we're talking about on these panels, especially today with disability, the heart that you've given them to ask questions and to read deeper into your scriptures. And I pray that you'd continue to guide them as they go on that journey to have increased insight and wisdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we thank everybody up here one more time?
All right, panelists, you're dismissed.